Dear Bringing Out the Dead, I thought this sit-down dinner of the two sets of brothers was way more awesome when I was a teenager, but seeing the whole original family in one room, that's still pretty cool. Sincerely, Bridget.
Dear Bringing Out the Dead, we all deserve happiness. Brother, siblings coming together, the whole family reuniting, the bond of mother and daughter forming, and saying goodbye to your loved one. Sincerely, Christina.
Welcome to Dear Vampire Diaries, where today we have the distinct pleasure of escorting you through this episode of The Vampire Diaries Season 3, Episode 13, Bringing Out the Dead. I'm your host, Bridget, and we have a guest with us today. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
Did you love this episode?
I loved it so much.
Aww. Yeah. We will get into all the reasons why.
Yeah.
We won't be delving into future episodes today, but we will be discussing this episode, Bringing Out the Dead, in detail. You've been warned. Speaking of warnings, we have a content note. The Vampire Diaries contains heavy themes. Please check the episode description for trigger warnings and resources. You can support the podcast by going to the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes, following the show on social media, which is also in the show notes, or by leaving us a great review. You can also write into us at dearvampdiaries@gmail.com. Okay, Christina.
Okay.
The HBO summary of this episode is, Sheriff Forbes delivers disturbing news to Alaric and Elena about a recent murder weapon, and Caroline is heartbroken when she's unable to stop a tragedy from unfolding. Stefan turns to Bonnie and Abby for help killing Klaus, and Damon asks an old friend. An old friend!
Which yeah.
brings us right to the start. We're gonna go in storyline by storyline. So first we're gonna talk about the A plot, which is Always and Forever. It's
Always
the originals.
And Forever. Oh my god.
And it's funny, when I asked Christina to be on this episode, I was like, Elijah's back. You have to come on for this episode.
Oh my god. I was like, Elijah? Happy?
You gotta be here if Elijah's here. He's our dapper man.
Yeah. Yeah. And Stefan also, like, yes.
Yes, yes. You are a Stefan stan for sure.
Yeah.
We need to be reminded of the humanity in Stefan, and so we need you.
Yep.
All right, so we start off, and it's the cliffhanger from where the last episode left off, where Elijah is alive suddenly. He's free.
Yes.
The last time that he saw Klaus, he was expecting to be reunited with the original family, and instead, Klaus daggered him. So you can understand why they get into a little bit of a scuffle.
Elijah being pissed was a fantastic showing.
Yes. Great actor, Daniel Gillies.
Yeah.
So some shit gets broken because Klaus is like, I just finished renovating. During this whole scuffle, Klaus undaggers Cole, one of his brothers who we haven't met yet, and he threatens to use the dagger on Elijah. And Elijah's like, do it. I dare you. You'll have Cole to deal with.
Yeah.
And I thought this was so interesting because we don't really know about the other personalities of the other brothers yet. But the thought, you can see it register in Joseph. I love Joseph Morgan's acting here, where you see him realize that Cole, like, shouldn't be fucked with. Like, there's something about him that, like, Elijah threatens him with Cole. And Klaus does choose to redagger Cole. But then he tells Elijah, Michael is dead, which gives Elijah some pause because he's like, well, wait, why do our family remain in coffins?
Yeah.
And Klaus is like, because of my ex-boyfriend, Stefan. He's trying to destroy all of us. And he says, I will tell you the truth about our mother's death.
Okay.
And he says, I just ask that you remember your oath, you know, always and forever, to be loyal to me. But Elijah has had kind of enough of Klaus's shit.
Yeah.
And so he goes to meet with Damon, which I love seeing them get together. And
oh my god.
Elijah holds up that little note that Damon left him in, like, his pocket. And he's like, what's going on? And Damon is like, I want to know what's in that mystery coffin.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's interesting. So he arranges this sort of tete-a-tete between the two sets of brothers. And I love that as Damon and Stefan are getting ready for dinner, Damon holds up, like, two black shirts as if to say which one. He's like, you should go for black.
Black, I think
black. Yeah. Black. Yeah.
Oh, okay. One thing about the whole scene, the color palette was
immaculate.
The black, the maroon, the brown, all the things. And oh, yes. The chandelier was off-white and golden. It was fantastic.
I love your appreciation for the production value. They definitely, they do that really well. And also it's like Klaus's new digs, right? It's his like mansion where he's like hoping to have his family.
Yep.
So he's like really renovated it. This is like modern vampire living, mid-century vampire living. So this is a sit-down dinner. And essentially we understand that Damon's plan is to have like a fake truce with Klaus. He's really trying to buy Bonnie and Abby some time to open the coffin. So this dinner, I really feel like, tell me what you think, but I feel like the classic look for the Salvatore brothers is cemented in this episode. Because they come in looking like two leaders of like a biker gang, you know what I mean? Like they've got their leather on and they're just like so ready to go. They come in as a little unit, the Salvatore gang.
So when they talk about Tatya, I also thought about Yelena and Tatya. Catherine. And I'm like, oh my god.
Of course.
The Salvatore brothers and the original, the same.
Yes, exactly. And that's the whole point, is to draw that parallel.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really, yeah. They have so much tense banter, and then eventually, like, Elena, of course, has to come up, and that's when Klaus is like, we should tell them about Tatya. And they're like, oh boy. And it's interesting, so we find out there was an original Petrova doppelganger, and we find out her place. This is more original lore, that because Elijah and Klaus were fighting over her so much, their mom, this is in his words, like, took her away and used her blood to create, to be, you know, she was the blood that they drank to become vampires.
Oh my god. That, like, seems so heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Like, did he kill her? Or
right, did she kill her or what? Yeah, it's like, because we don't really understand what Elijah means by like, took her away.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And then it seems weird that if she was trying to settle the feud between the brothers, that she would then be like, oh, and there will be another one that comes along every few hundred years just to remind you of past mistakes so that you can really learn your lesson of bros before Petrova hoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's very weird. I have a lot of questions about this whole thing.
Yeah.
Especially, like, why is there a Petrova? Like, was she Petrova at the time? Because that's very Russian. And they said when we settled in America, which, of course, we know Vikings didn't settle in America around the time of Native Americans. But in this show, they did. And there's, like, a Russian villager girl now? Like, what? It's so random. What a melting pot America is.
Yeah.
And always has been. No, just kidding. So that's weird. Like, so much of it just feels... But, you know, this is also... We are getting the version from the brothers. Like, we don't really know. What would Tatya's version of this story be?
Yeah.
What would their mom's story, like, version of this story be? We haven't heard it yet. We've only heard it here. And we've only heard it in the presence of Damon and Stefan. They're obviously leaving a lot out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of, in some ways, other than the production value, which you brought up, I sort of hate this little get-together because it's got sort of like sexist feel to it, because it's like the men are all being served by like scantily clad women, and like I hate the way Damon is looking at them. Like, it reminds me a little bit too much of like season one Damon, who would like use sorority girls for their bodies, and like it's just this sit-down dinner of like cigars and whiskey for the men, and all the women are like Playboy bunnies who are like serving them. I hate it. It gives me like the ick.
But later on, we find out that he is in love with Elena.
Yes, Damon. We will get to the
to
that profession later. Yeah, but in this moment, it's like all weird. It's just got, I don't know. I hate this vibe.
Okay. Yeah.
I just don't love it. It's just very misogynistic.
Maybe he is playing his part for Klaus.
For sure. But they're all enjoying it. Those stinky little boys. I hate them anyway. Yeah. They don't even have one woman at the table. You know what I mean? Like, Elena's not there negotiating for herself when they're all talking about her future and shit. Because Damon makes a proposal. He's like, Klaus, I want you to leave Mystic Falls, and in exchange, we will give you the coffin. And Klaus is like, you're forgetting about Elena. And so he counter proposes, like, I will ensure Elena's happiness and safety. And that will be my end of the bargain. And he says, and you know it's better for her. Like, he makes this point of, like, I think she could settle down with that jock, you know? And they're like, Matt? Really? And Matt is who you're suggesting? And Stefan realizes, they're like, oh no, it's because you just want more little doppelgangers running around in the future that will always, you know, allow you to create hybrids. So they're like using Elena as this bargaining chip. Yeah. It's not surprising coming from Klaus. But it's surprising to me that the Salvatore brothers didn't think about this at all.
I think that they thought about it, but maybe not this time.
That's fair. It was really just a ruse. So it's not really, they don't need Klaus to agree to anything. It's just, Klaus is just shoving Elena in their faces. And it's funny because there's this moment where, like, he holds out his hand and Stefan comes over and shakes his hand as if they have a deal. And then he goes, no deal. But Klaus kind of forces the deal with his usual, which is violence. You know, that's his usual. Yeah. If he went into a restaurant, he'd be like, I'd like to order my usual. And they'd be like, oh, so violence served over violence. That's what you, that's the Klaus special.
Okay. He has always been violent. But he has always cared about
stuff
like Elijah and Cole and Caroline.
We've really given Klaus a fleshed out, we've seen that little thing with Caroline, which is like starting to bud, which I fucking love. Huge fan of it. I love a bad boy turned good over the charms of a good woman in fantasy, you know, not in life. Yeah. But yeah, Klaus essentially like, hold Stefan over the fire and is like, go get my coffins. And he sends Elijah to go with Damon to make sure that he stays honest. And he says to Elijah, I promise I will hand over our whole family if once you do this. But you can see it. I love Daniel Gillies acting. Like, in his eyes, he's so sick of Klaus's shit.
Yeah.
And that's the problem when you're a one-trick violent pony, Klaus. Like, people start to catch on and people start to... You know, Damon thought of this too. He knew it would kind of happen, so they have to leave.
Yeah.
Before they come back, there's this sad moment where Stefan is like, he tells Klaus to kill him. And Klaus says verbatim what Damon said to him earlier in the season. He says, you really have given up, haven't you? It's tough to see Stefan be this self-hating. You can see part of himself returning, you know?
Yeah.
Even just a little bit.
Stefan.
But Elijah comes in, and the way that he reveals that he's undaggered his other siblings is so magician-like. I know you love the magic castle. He's got this tray, and he's like, brother, what we forgot dessert. And like, he takes this hanky off the tray, like, whoosh, because he's got this gorgeous assistant, which is the cocktail waitress there. Elijah was a magician in, like, the 40s, I feel like. You just know it, right?
Yeah.
And he unleashes the other Michelsons on Klaus. And they come in one at a time and they stab him. And it's interesting because obviously we know Rebecca, but we don't really know Cole or Finn yet. And Joseph Morgan, I know I love him so much, so I'm sorry how much like props I'm giving him. But I truly think his acting is great in this moment because it's clear in this scene, he has a specific relationship to each sibling. You see the fear in his eyes when Cole comes at him. He's like, Cole. And he scurries backward almost like an animal.
Something crazy
must have happened. Yeah. And then Finn comes up and he appeals to Finn, like he's appealing to his humanity or something. So, you know, Finn probably has a different personality. And then, of course, Rebecca comes in and
she stabs him.
And she's like, this is for our mother. Oh, yeah. And she's in that prom dress looking so out of place, but so good. If you're Rebecca, you always have to be dressing to the nines because you never know when you're going to get daggered and then you're going to wake up 100 years from now and you got to be looking gorgeous. So she's got it amazing. On point.
On the lock. My God. Okay. Yeah.
Our fashionista.
Yeah.
And they turn to Damon and Stefan and they're like, you can go. This is family business. And it's like, And what they do is they essentially kick Klaus out of their family. Like they profess that they're leaving him. Rebecca says she's going to kill Elena so that he'll always be alone.
God.
And Niklaus has this, like, tantrum where he's like, I'm the hybrid!
Yeah.
You know, I can't be killed!
But, yeah.
And it's a great thing of, like, seeing this very narcissistic sibling, like, throwing a fit in the face of his, like, intervention almost from his family, of them being like, we've had enough of your shit.
You also see the hurt that he's been going through.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Leave it to you, Christina. You could always find the, like, humanity and the compassion in a character. Like,
that's, yeah, okay.
Because he goes about it in, like, a bad way, but
yeah.
You're right. He really does crave belonging.
Yeah.
But who comes in the door? Esther. His mother. And she walks. It's crazy to watch everyone, like, watch her walk in, and, like, she's still dressed in the, like, old-timey garb.
She almost looked like a ghost.
Yeah. Nick looks like he's seen a ghost. It's like,
yeah.
Or he can't look at her. He's like looking at the ground, and she says, look at me. Do you know why I'm here? And he's like, you're here to kill me. And she says, Niklaus, you are my son. I am here to forgive you.
It gives
me chills.
Yeah. Like,
so, damn, Esther, you really picked a great moment to ruin the family intervention. And that's the cliffhanger that we leave them on, is like, yeah, all of his siblings were ready to, you know, vote him off the island, and his mom comes in and is like his one Hail Mary.
Yeah. She also said, I want us to be a family again.
Yeah. Which is interesting, like, what does that mean, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we really don't know much about Esther yet. And so, it's just fascinating. But yeah, I love the idea of there being forgiveness on this kind of a show, because there is so much revenge and there is so much grudge holding. And it's very cool to see a character forgive the unforgivable. Like, it's what a plot twist. A plot twist. So, that's where we leave the original family. Let's go over to another family. B is for the Bennett plot. Bonnie and Abby. So we start off in the caves. Stefan's got this sort of pissy attitude with Bonnie, where he's like, she's doing him a huge favor here. She's doing him favors left and right with the coffins. He's just pissed that, you know, they lost this last round with Klaus, where Bonnie had to give up the coffins. So he takes them to the one that we now know Esther is in, and he sets kind of a ticking clock on them to open it, because he's like, Klaus is, you know, seeing that we're stalling, and he's gonna come and kill all of us looking for this, so you guys better fucking open it. And then he just, like, leaves them there. He's like, lay low in here! It's like, oh good, thanks. It is smart to, you know, have this be the one place where vampires can't enter. And he says something about how Damon compelled some, like, Lockwood gardeners to bring it in. Which I love to think about. It's great.
The one thing about Bonnie's mom, she has no power, but he doesn't believe her.
Right.
Because, I don't know, it's like a witch has always powers. And I think she's hiding something.
Ooh. You know, it's very safe to assume that a lot of characters are hiding something in this episode. Like, they've all got their own agendas and shit. Yeah. And, you know, she kind of proved herself in the last episode to be someone who might not be exactly what she seems, for sure. Yeah. This is a really interesting dynamic, because Bonnie is obviously, she sort of twists the knife in Abby, where Abby looks at the caves around and she goes, what is this? And Bonnie is like, it's the story of a mother who loved her kids so much that she couldn't imagine that they would die. Can you imagine being like that? Mom? You know? So, like, Bonnie is still rightly angry. And you could see that Abby is tortured by this. I really love Persia White's acting. She, you can see her pain.
Yeah.
Really, really, really well acted. And she comes over to the grimoire, and Bonnie is like, what is this ripped out page? And we learn that that's the page that Abby ripped out when she used a spell to seal Michael in the tomb. And she's like, I burned it. I tried to get it out of my head. You know, you can tell that it was really traumatic for her. Probably because the magic almost claimed her life.
Yeah.
you know, which is fair. Bonnie's seen that, you know, and Bonnie has walked through that. And Grams, it claimed Grams. Magic is what claimed Grams. So anyway, on the next page, they see a spell that is a sealing spell, and it's got like these two loops. And Bonnie's like, but we're trying to unlock something. We're not trying to seal it. And her mom actually comes in handy, and she's like, well, but if you understand a spell, you can probably reverse it. She says, this says here that it takes two generations. Convenient.
Mom. Daughter. Yep.
Yep, absolutely. And she says it's like two keys to a safety deposit box, which is interesting. But, you know, just like how this kind of feels plot device-y, I kind of wish that this complicated dynamic between Bonnie and her mom wasn't so much of a plot device. Like, it seems really convenient that they need, like, two generations for this. I really wanted more from them, especially because we're going to see a really complex relationship with Caroline and her father later. I wanted more from this. Like, yeah. There's a lot of meat here that they could have gotten into, and I feel like it's mostly just about the magic, and you know, they pay some lip service to Bonnie's anger to her mom, but they don't really, well, anyway, it's interesting because, you know, obviously we're going storyline by storyline, but in the episode there's this great transition where it goes from the brothers, the original brothers are cheersing, to family above all, and it cuts right to Abby and Bonnie's hands holding each other, doing the spell. So family above all, I feel like, is the theme of this episode.
Ooh.
Like, we've got, you know, Elena the whole time is like, Alaric's my family. Yeah. I have to look out for him. Caroline is losing her family, her dad, and like grappling with what that means. Bonnie's upset at Abby for not putting family above all. And Stefan and Damon are grappling with their, you know, family ties, you know, versus a girl that they're competing over. And then Esther, of course, is like, I want us to be a family again at the end of the day. So it's like all of these stories are so juicy about families. I just wish that Bonnie and Abby's was written better. I don't know. Because I don't know if Kat Graham meant to do this or if they just had like a shitty director. But I do feel like the way that Bonnie is written in this scene is kind of like she's using Abby. Like, it's an interesting speech where she goes, do you know Dad and Graham's never talked about you? It was easier to believe that you were dead. And you just see, like, how tortured her mom is. Because, like, Bonnie's trying to, like, manipulate the magic out of her to, like, get her to use feeling and passion and, like, to care. Because she's like, you know, it's not the spirits. It's you. You just don't even want to try.
But you also, like,
she
had a mother. And she left her. And...
Right. Totally. Bonnie's anger is there. I just feel like, I don't know, there's something lacking in this as a scene for me. Like, I just wish that it was more fleshed out, I guess. I think there was room for it in the episode.
Yeah.
I really do. Anyway, they do it again, and it, like, works this time. And so Bonnie is like, I'm gonna go call Damon, and she walks off. And, of course, Abby is left alone in the room with this terrifying coffin that just opens.
Yep.
And when Damon and Stefan come back to check on them at the end of the episode, they are both unconscious, still breathing.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah. He also calls them Big Witch and Little Witch, which I'm like, obviously Big Witch is Bonnie.
Yeah.
Obvi. Little Witch is Abby.
Well, Big Witch, I thought Bonnie's mom.
Right, I know. That's what you would think. But obviously, Bonnie is the baller in this town, okay?
Okay.
She is the baller witch. All right. Okay, so Christina, let's go on to the C plot.
Okay.
Which, I wrote that this stands for Who is C? Because, okay, do you remember Pretty Little Liars?
Yes.
It would have been on TV around the same time as this show.
Yeah.
So in that, the person that's, like, killing people and, like, terrorizing people, they call them A.
Yeah.
Which A stands for a character in that show.
Yeah.
But, so A was taken when we had this, like, mystery person of, like, who's killing all these, who's doing all these murders in Mystic Falls?
Yeah.
When Nikki and I were trying to figure it out, we were like, what should we call them as a placeholder? Because we don't know their name. And we were like, well, we can't use A because that's Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah.
We can't use B because B is my first initial and I don't want any part of this. And C was what we landed on. So we were like, who is C?
C is me.
That was our nickname.
C is
it's
me.
You, it's Christina. Yeah, Christina, tell us why you've been murdering all these people in Mystic Falls, all these innocent
I don't know. People. I got bored.
Great reason. That's, hey,
yeah,
borrowing Damon's reason for turning Vicky, so there you go. So to go on this plot line, we've obviously got Alaric and Elena, and of course Caroline, you know, dealing with this because it's going to affect her later. But we start off in the Gilbert kitchen, where Elena's come in from an early morning run, and Alaric is doing kind of the opposite of what an early morning run represents. Like, he's taking aspirin for a headache from getting blackout drunk the night before, and he reveals that he drunk dialed Meredith. Yeah.
He had whiskey at 2 a.m.
Not a good combo.
Yep.
Okay, so Liz comes in, and Liz is great. Like, Liz is like, okay, this is an unconventional conversation, so I'm going to need you guys to protect me on it. She says, the steak that killed Brian Walters is a steak from your collection. We found one pair of fingerprints on it, and it is Elena's. Yes. Do you remember when you were first watching this, what you thought of that? Like, who did you think was killing all these people? Like, do you remember if you had a theory?
You couldn't figure it out. No, I don't remember anything.
Yeah, if you had like a theory or not.
I still don't know anything because...
Yeah, this is spoiler free. So we can't tell anyone who this is. My theory at this point in time was that it was Catherine.
Huh.
That was my theory when I first watched it. Because if they are exact duplicates, Catherine has Elena's same fingerprints.
Ooh.
Right? So that's what I thought. And I was like, who would cause this kind of havoc?
Okay.
And like have a grudge against the Founders Council? I thought Catherine must be fucking some shit up, and I don't know why, because she has always got a reason, because she's like some kind of criminal mastermind, but she's kind of like the Moriarty of this show.
Twins have same fingerprints?
But they're not twins, they're doppelgangers.
Yeah.
So they're exact copies of each other.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I was thinking, was like, maybe it's Catherine. Yeah. Anyway, just to put that out there.
Okay.
So obviously Alaric and Elena are freaking out, and they call Damon, and Damon's like, oh, so you're enemy number one, huh, Elena? Like, he's kind of making fun of her. He's like, it's obviously Meredith. She had motive, she had opportunity. And Alaric says that he's got these weapons stashed all over the place. They could have been taken from anywhere.
Yeah.
But Elena has this interesting moment where she says, do you think it could be Stefan? Which we will deal with the fallout of that later when we talk about the love triangle.
Yep.
So we go to the hospital where Caroline is there to pick up her dad because he's supposed to have been discharged, you know, from having been wounded by Tyler. And there's this weird moment of empathy that Meredith Fell has for her where she's like, it must be hard being the one thing your dad hates most in the world, huh?
Yeah.
And Caroline's like, yep. Good talk. Yes, it is. Thank you, doctor. Anyway, she just walks away and is like, tell your dad I said you're welcome.
Oh my god.
And Caroline comes over to Elena and she's like, Meredith is sweet. She's a little intense. But yeah, I think it's cool that you want to look out for who Alaric's dating. I mean, because with Jeremy gone, who is Elena going to worry about now? She's got to worry about someone, and it's Alaric. So
Matt?
Yeah, Matt, you could totally... Yes, everyone should be worrying about Matt. That poor boy is living alone. Who pays his rent? How is he getting through school and everything? My God. Everyone in this town just looks the other way from Matt.
Inheritance.
I hope. My God. Oh. Anyway, there's this funny moment. I just want to bring up the editing of this sequence. It's the only time that I feel this way, because often the editing in Vampire Diaries is very good and the transitions are great. But there's this funny moment where Caroline is like calling her dad because he's been discharged, but he didn't call her. So she's calling him and she's like, I hear his cell phone. And they do this insert of her ear, like a really close insert of Caroline's ear. And I was just like, oh, yeah, because how will we understand that she has vampire hearing if we don't see a close-up of her ear? But anyway, that's just my... And also, oh, God, this is the continuity freak in me coming out. Her hair is covered in, like, the wide shot, but in the close-up, it's like her bare ear and her hair is behind her ear. I don't know. I was just like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
But this is a very creepy moment, though. The call is coming from inside the hospital. And when they open up this like storeroom for medical supplies, they find a bunch of blood and they see her dad, Bill, lying there, and he's been knifed. And I also hate the editing here where it's like, ka-dung, 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 ka-dung. Mm-hmm. It's like it shoots between her face and the knife and her face and the knife. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'm just not a fan of that editing. But it eases up. And they go in and they're like, oh my God, did you see who attacked you? And he's like, I didn't see my attacker. Elena has this moment of recognition where she goes, Caroline, he had vampire blood in his system.
Yeah.
And as soon as she says that, he comes back to life and Bill is in transition. It's neat to be in a hospital for his transition because it mirrors that Caroline was in a hospital for her transition.
Yeah.
You know, which is so funny.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Back at the Gilbert kitchen, Alaric and Elena are taking inventory. Alaric is really placing Meredith at like all the crime scenes with access and opportunity. And it sucks because Elena is like, yeah, it is kind of looking like it is Meredith. And she pats him on the arm like, there, there. Too bad this one's a psycho. There's plenty of fish in the sea. But she tells him to be careful. Famous last words.
Yeah.
And she goes over to the Forbes house and she's sitting there with Caroline. And it's interesting. Like, she's there to tell Liz, like, hey, we really think it's Meredith. But it's funny because Caroline has this line where she says, does Alaric really think Dr. Fell did it? And the way she said it, I heard Dr. Phil. I was like, oh, wow, that really widens the scope. We're really accusing people left and right here. And while we're throwing wild accusations out there, Caroline suggests Tyler, which is wild. Like, everyone is suggesting their ex-boyfriends. They're like, my ex-boyfriend might have done it. I don't know.
She has a point.
I don't know. It's like they don't really have the... Stefan and Tyler don't really have a reason to attack the council. The council is toothless. Like, what's the point of this? And it's their families, you know? It's Tyler's mom is on the council. Like, it makes no sense. Anyway... Speaking of moms, Caroline's reflecting on the fact that her mom is in there sitting with her dad, and she says, I don't think they've been in the same room since I was 10 years old. And, you know, this is, of course, because Bill is like, I'm not going to feed. I'm going to just die. I'm going to choose to not become a vampire. So it's almost like hospice care moment. Like, that's sort of what this whole vibe is. And they talk about death.
Okay.
And... they connect on losing parents. Caroline's kind of struggling with the control issue of like, I'm just going to force him to feed. I'm just going to force him.
Yeah.
And Elena says this great thing of like, but he doesn't want to.
He has his choice.
Yes. And I can relate to this too of like seeing your loved one be sick.
Yeah.
And you hope that they'll choose a course of treatment, but knowing that you have to respect it if they ever want to stop or do something different. You have to give people the dignity of their choice and how they deal with that.
That scene was heart-wrenching, and it made me cry.
Me too. Me too. Yeah, especially one coming up that we're going to talk about. But Elena says, you know, the worst part about this is not having them there for the things that you just need your dad for, you know?
Yeah.
In this moment, Caroline really needs friends around her, and so we see someone approaching, and it's Matt, our emotional support human. The lonely boy who lives down the road. And it's very, very sweet that he's there. He holds Caroline. Oh, God. And Matt also walks Elena home. And right before they go inside her house, he says, this is messed up. No one should have to live this way. Mm-hmm. And as if to make his point, they get inside Elena's house and the lights won't turn on. And there's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Handprints everywhere. There's something about this. I don't know if it's just the PA or what, but like that did this, but like it feels very staged. Some part of it, you're just like handprints everywhere. You're like, this is so weird. They go upstairs and they find Alaric. Immediately they're like, oh my God, who did you see who did this? And he's like, I don't know. I didn't see who did this. And then, like, so Matt is like, okay, well, we have to call 911, obviously.
Yeah.
And Elena she goes, wait, I'm supernatural. He's wearing his ring. If he's killed by something supernatural. And he's like, but we don't know that the killer is. And she's like, right. So I have to kill him.
Elena with that knife was horrendous.
Terrifying. Terrifying. And it's funny because Jeremy had to do this recently too. Yeah. Where like he chopped off the head of a hybrid. But that was, you know, a stranger and an enemy. And this is Alaric. And she has to... Oh, God. Anyway. Well,
the family...
Yeah, also, they've never tested this. They've never tested this. So it's a good thing that Elena is supernatural and that the ring respects a human doppelganger. So, okay, what a moment to test it, Elena. Great. So we go to the Forbes abode, and this is the scene. Okay, I have to tell you, I had an audition where I had to film myself crying.
Okay.
They didn't want me crying as part of a scene. They wanted to see what kind of crier I am. And so they were like, watch something that makes you cry or whatever. Like, and so I watched this scene and filmed myself watching this scene where Caroline says goodbye to her dad. And like, I had snot coming out of my nose. Man, being an actor is so weird.
Oh my God.
It totally works. Like, this is the complex vibe and the writing that I wanted between Bonnie and her mom. You know, because there's this part where Caroline changes tactics. She tries one last time to convince him to feed. And he says no. And she has this outburst of like, how can you hate who I am so much?
And then he says, I love you.
I know. He calms her down. And he's like, he says all these beautiful things to her. But in the background, it's so subtle. I love this. You can see Liz come in through the doorway, like just stand in the doorway. And it's like, she heard the outburst. Like, she heard, how can you hate who I am so much? And she comes in just to, like, check on them. I love that touch, that subtle touch of her being a mom and of, like, hovering there a bit just to make sure everything's okay. And they say, they say goodbye. Oof. Matt and Elena get the call that Caroline says Bill is dead. He's passed. And Alaric still hasn't woken up yet. And there's this beautiful moment of Matt holding Elena when she says, I can't lose anyone else. It almost makes me think Klaus is right and he should just compel Matt and Elena to fall in love and have babies and be normal and be protected forever. I'm like, I'm kind of on board with that now.
Matt the hero.
So Liz calls Elena and says Meredith Fell has an alibi for attacking Alaric, and she was in surgery for like 6 hours and like a whole room of people were with her. Alaric wakes up. And Liz does point out that this is the third member of the council that has been attacked. So it seems like that's what all these victims have in common. So we go to the D plot.
Okay.
D is for Damon and Stefan and Elena, the love triangle.
Yep.
So this is really the emotional core of the plot. Like, it's not so much about moving everything forward. It's just kind of them dealing with the weirdness of what this has become. Because we, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you have a lot to say about this.
Okay. Elena and Stefan are in the tomb or...
The caves, yeah.
Yeah, the cave. And she asked him, have you killed someone?
Right. Did you kill Brian Walters?
That look on Stefan's face, heart-wrenching. It was... hurt.
Yes.
And also, like, he wanted something better from her.
Yeah, which is like, it's a lot to ask because he's done a lot of shit to her lately. He almost drove her off Wickery Bridge, you know, to kill her and make her become a vampire.
Yeah.
So I think in a way this is her, I think that some part of her does wonder if it could be him because it's gotten to that point.
Yeah.
But then also Stefan's offended that it has gotten to this point.
Yeah.
Like, she has a good reason, but he does drop the D word. He says, did you ask Damon if he's killed anyone lately? And it's like, obviously not.
Yeah.
Obviously not, because Damon is so stable for her right now.
Yeah.
And Stefan is the unstable one. So at the Salvatore Mansion, when Damon and Stefan are getting ready before that dinner, Stefan is all, you know, he's pissed at Damon for kissing Elena, and I think he's got a lot of nerve being upset about it, because it's like, my dude, you did not need to do a lot of this shit. Like, you did not need to almost drive Elena off a bridge. Like, this is Of course this is happening. You have driven her into his arms. You have a lot of nerve being upset about it, my buddy.
Yes. But
of course he cares about her. Yeah.
Devon walking into the room without his shirt was priceless. Okay.
You're like, yes, but. Yeah. Important point to make. I want to push back on this Tatia story that they tell them, because the whole point for, you know, Klaus and Elijah telling them that, it's supposed to be like a, and we learned that being brothers is more important than being with a girl, that kind of thing. But I actually think that Elena isn't so much a wedge between Stefan and Damon. I actually think there's a strong argument to be made that she has brought them back together. They were having issues for a long time over Catherine, and also over, like, their father's death, over turning into a vampire. Like, they have stuff that's not about women, you know what I mean, going on between them, family issues. And in this century, Elena brought them back into the same town to make them work together. Like, she's the reason why they're both there and why they're having to be on the same team. So I actually think that she is kind of actually more glue for them than she is a wedge. That's just my that's my little thing for that. Yeah.
Love that. Yeah.
And it is nice to see them, like, have gratitude for each other at the end. Like, they're walking in the woods together. Yeah, Damon kind of implies, well, first of all, Stefan is like, thanks for saving me. You know, and Damon's like, well, you've saved me a ton of times, so whatever. Yeah. And Stefan is like, still, you didn't have to. You could have just had Elena all to yourself. Like, Klaus would have crushed me. You knew that. He knew that, too. He was willing to just go and, like, not deal with all of this wreckage that he's created. And Damon kind of implies that he saved Stefan for Elena tonight. Because he's like, he's like, I didn't do it, you know, for the reasons you think. Mm. And I think it's because he knows that Stefan does mean a lot to Elena.
Yeah.
And obviously because he loves him. He's his little baby bro. But there is that moment where he just is like, I didn't do it on your account.
Yeah.
You know, Stefan dying would be a real, real pain to Elena.
But also, like, Stefan also says, I love her, Damon. And then he says, so do I. And I'm
so
like,
so matter of fact.
Oh.
I know. See? Same team. No problem. I don't see a problem. Same team. Team Petrova. Oh my goodness. And that's the episode.
Oh my god.
Christina, who are you taking and who are you staking from this episode?
I'm taking Caroline because everything that she has gone through with her dad and Tyler, and I'm staking Klaus. Because he's childish, and also I understand him because he's hurt, but no violence.
Yeah, no violence. Bad Klaus. Get a different usual order, Klaus. We're so sick of your violence served cold. Yeah. Well, I am taking Liz Forbes. Because she is dealing with so much in this episode. She is doing so great at supporting her ex-husband who, like, left her and really hurt her. She's supporting him. She's giving him a peaceful place to die. She's there for her daughter. She's not making it about her, you know? And she's also still helping the town. Like, she goes to Elena and Larrick, and she's not immediately like, Elena, you killed people. Like, she's being really reasonable. She's checking up on alibis. She's not making any, you know, suspicious next moves. Liz is doing the work. Liz is just like a center pin in this episode, and I love her for it.
Okay.
I am staking.
Who are you staking? Yeah.
I'm staking not a person, but just the weird misogynistic dinner of these two brothers. I fucking hate it. Have a woman at the table. My God, men. What is this? What is this weird Playboy bunny mansion that Klaus has created? I fucking hate it. I don't like it at all. It makes me go, ick!
What's the word of the day?
Well, the word of the day is proliferate. So proliferate is a verb. Proliferate.
Okay.
So it's a verb. It means to increase quickly in number or amount. Okay, so we are both going to use this in a sentence to describe something in the episode. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Christina, what's your sentence?
Klaus is proliferating his followers.
Oh my god, I thought the same thing! I said, okay, so we're sort of similar. I said, Klaus wants Elena to remain human, marry, and keep popping out children so that he can proliferate as many hybrids as possible with their blood. Yes, we went the same place. That's all for Bringing Out the Dead. You can support the podcast by going to the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes, following the show on social media, which is also in the show notes, or by leaving us a great review. You can also write into us at dearvampdiaries@gmail.com. I have been your host, Bridget, and Christina has been our guest today. Thanks for joining us, and tune in next time to find out if Klaus will be hiring Damon to do the repairs on his antiques that his siblings smashed. Or if Elena will fall in love with that nice football player, you know, the blonde one. Dear Diary, makes me nostalgic for the time when Stefan was a bunny snacking pacifist.
Dear Diary, I want us to be a family again.
Dear Diary, it's okay. This is life. This is what it means to be human.